Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Big City Catholics. I'm Bishop Robert Brennan, Bishop of Brooklyn, serving in Brooklyn and Queens. And today I have as my co-host, my priest secretary, Father John Huang. Father John and I have been working very closely for the last year, and it kind of ties in very neatly with our conversations today about Pope Leo. So Father John, thank you for joining me.
Hello, Bishop. Hi, everyone. It's Father John. It's my pleasure and honor to co-host the Big City Catholic.
We usually begin in prayer, and as co-host, I'd ask you if you'd lead us.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Loving and gracious God, we thank you for bringing us together today as one church family. We thank you for the gift of Catholic education that forms the minds and hearts of our young people. We ask your blessing upon all our students, especially those who are graduating this season. Guide them as they take their next steps, and remind them always that you walk with them wherever they go. We pray in a special way for Pope Leo XIV. Strengthen him as he leads the church with a message of peace, hope, and love, and inspire us to be instruments of that peace in our own lives. We also lift up to you all families, educators, and benefactors who support our Catholic schools. We place this time, this conversation, and all who are listening into the loving care of Mary, our mother, as we begin this month dedicated to her. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for that prayer, and what a great lead-in. You focus in on Catholic education. We've been celebrating Catholic education a lot the past week, haven't we?
Yes, we've been celebrating with our students, especially with the graduation mass and the Futures Dinner.
Futures Dinner. So yes, last week on Tuesday, we were at Cipriani's for the Futures Dinner. We had well over 800 people who were there, all believers in Catholic education. Wasn't that an inspiring evening?
Yeah, that was really exciting. I was there last year as a pastor, but this year I came with you.
That's right. And there's always something of a great story. Usually parents tell a story, give a witness of how Futures has helped them. This year we had a young student. Wasn't she impressive?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. I mean, all the witnesses, I enjoy them. And I particularly enjoyed the show.
The
children's from Sacred Heart and Church in Bayside.
Right. So they did a piece from Godspell, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. And that brought back a lot of memories, and they did it well. But one of the young ladies in that group sang the Star Spangled Banner. Wow.
Yeah.
She hit all the right notes. I mean, that was impressive.
Impressive, yeah.
So that was good. We had a new younger generation of participants, people stepping up to support our Catholic schools. We had a few people from the next generation in terms of social media and social media influencers and all of that. It was a celebration of the church in New York City, but for us, particularly in Brooklyn and Queens. So, and we're grateful. We're grateful for all the people who've been supporting for years and years and years, and those who are coming along. It was a great celebration. But then, as you mentioned, we got right back to the schools, and we had the 8th grade graduation mass. Back during Lent, we had the high school graduation mass. And that was a long dream of mine. I had always hoped we could do something for the high school graduation. And when I presented the idea here in Brooklyn and Queens, I said, Bishop, we can do you one better. Let's do the high school graduations and let's do the 8th grade graduations. And that's great. I can't get to all the graduations. You know what our schedule is like.
I do.
I'm not even getting all the confirmations. We count on all of the bishops who pitch in a very generous way. But this is my chance to be with the 8th graders. And we split it into two in the last couple of years because there were so many of them. Those young people are impressive, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. What strikes me most is the sense the whole church gathered together, students from like different schools and neighborhoods. And the cathedral, they become one community. Now you can really feel the joy and proud.
Yep.
Families and teachers and students. Oh, thanking God.
You can sense their exuberance as they're coming in. Yeah. They're full of energy after having been on a bus for however long it took them to get there on a bus. But there's something that happens when they get into the cathedral, when they sit down to pray, when Mass begins. They know what to do at Mass.
Yes, yes.
And they pray so beautifully. And that's been the case every single year. It tells me that something is going well in our schools.
I bet as some
and academies
for students, it's their first time they've been there at the cathedral. So celebrating graduation means something for yes. them, especially that moment. You know,
that's a good point. Yeah. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. I, you know, in eighth grade, I would not have been to the Cathedral of St. Agnes, I don't think, when I was in Rockville right. Center. So you're exactly right. It gives them that sense of our unity, mm-hmm. which yep. we are. I always say, mm-hmm. welcome home, because when right. you're in the cathedral or the co-cathedral, you're at home, because it's the spiritual home for all the Catholics. You know? Yeah. So, now, today's episode of Big City Catholics will release on Friday, May the 8th, and we'll be in the midst of the second of the two graduation masses. But it also happens to fall on a very auspicious day in the life of the church this year.
Yes, Pope Leo the 14th mm-hmm. Election.
He was elected a year ago on May 8th. I remember last year, the day of the graduation mass was the day after he was elected, so there was an excitement in it. But yeah, that's it's a year anniversary. Boy, what a quick year, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm remembering, doing a lot of remembering of those days leading up to the days of the conclave and Cardinal Dolan. Obviously, it was one of the cardinals in the conclave.
Right.
So they go to the B team. When they can't get the cardinal, they went to the Bishop of Brooklyn. And so I was on different interviews and whatnot. And I remember I was at the house setting up a Zoom interview with Fox yeah. 5, the local right. Fox 5 TV.
Yeah, I remember that. You've and been everywhere.
I was everywhere. And I was doing the Zoom and they had me on hold. And all of a sudden, the lady came on, who was like a producer. Mm-hmm. And she said, Bishop, we're going to have to cut away from you. We're not going to do the interview. There's white smoke coming from the chimney. And then I got on my bicycle and I hustled down to St. Joseph's and I settled in there at DeSales and watched. We waited and waited for the new Pope to be announced, introduced to the world and to see his message. What were you doing that day?
Well, I was serving as pastor of St. Anselm's Church. I remember watching and listening closely to his first appearance. What stays with me most was his greeting of peace right from the beginning, right?
Right.
His first words invited the whole world to peace.
Yeah, you know, peace that made be a deep, with you. And he put it, and he used yeah. the liturgical that we see, mm-hmm. peace be with you,
yeah.
right? Which he said those were the first words of Jesus to his apostles.
Yes, yeah.
After the resurrection.
Absolutely. And from that first greeting until now, right, Pope Leo has consistently called the church to be the voice of peace in a world like this, you know, marked by conflict and division. That message reminds us that the peace begins with a conversion of heart and with how we treat one another every day.
How true it is. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, peace in the world. I mean, he stepped into a world, leadership. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of the church in a world that was already fractured in war, two major conflicts, one of them in mm-hmm. Ukraine right. and yeah. one of them in Gaza after the attack on Israel, the October 7th attack a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And so he's been a constant voice of peace, but he mentions that there are wars all over the world mm-hmm. in different nations in Africa. And then most recently, we have real concerns for peace in Iran, for the world to be at mm-hmm. peace. Yes, he's a consistent voice. It's mm-hmm. not just episodic.
Right.
From the very first time mm-hmm. he stepped on the balcony, peace yeah. be with you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think you make a good point. It's not just saying in this theoretical, hypothetical way to the world, hey, mm-hmm. peace, let's hope for peace, but very practical. Mm-hmm. Begins with us being peacemakers, letting Christ convert our hearts.
Right, yes.
Yeah. So that's good. That is it's a very important message of his. Mm-hmm. Another message of his was concern for the poor. He wrote that letter, Dilixite. Now, that was finishing the work of Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Pope Francis mm-hmm. had begun that work, that letter right. to the poor, mm-hmm. but he took it. He took Pope Francis's message, but then he made it his own, and he right. brought his own experience. One mm-hmm. of the things that when he was elected that really struck me was that he was a missionary himself. I yes. was joking at the time, but it's not as much of a joke. It's more than a joke. I used to say, and I still say, we've been blessed in the last century or so with popes who had missionary hearts.
Right.
They were all missionaries in their spirit, their missionary hearts. But Pope Leo had missionary feet.
So true.
He got on the ground and he was a missionary in Peru. But boy, he brought that missionary spirit. So his care for the poor comes out of his experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he went to everywhere, literally, not only Latin America, Africa, and Asia. He went to Korea,
yes.
Five times.
Oh, really?
Yes. Five times? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Even before he made Pope.
Yes, he was, you know, as a missionary, he was in Peru, and he worked amongst the poor in Peru. But he was also an Augustinian priest, so he brings that charism of St. Augustine. And he was really the superior general of the whole order. So he was responsible for the Augustinian priest all around the world. So in that capacity, he visited many times. And then Pope Francis called him to be the head of the office for the bishop. So again, he had a greater responsibility for the world. So, you know, you mentioned Korea. We're looking forward to catching up with him in Korea, aren't we?
Yes, yes, we are. The World Youth Day in Seoul next year, 2027, is very exciting. It highlights the vibrant faith of young Catholics in not only Asia, but the whole world. And it reminds us the entire world of the church's global unity. And knowing Pope Leo's love for our young people and his past visit to Korea, I'm sure he's very much looking forward to being with them there.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. You know, it was Pope Francis who invited us, but it's Pope Leo who's going to lead us, right? Yeah. And we're getting ready. There's a lot of excitement here, right? So we have a good group going. In fact, this week you had a meeting with Father Caroli and all of the different group leaders to prepare to go over where we should be at this point and to get ready with the next steps and build up that anticipation. Right. One of the things I love about World Youth Day with the Brooklyn and Queens contingent is there are a lot of practical preparations, you know, what we have to do to get ready to go. But there were also a lot of spiritual preparation. So we have the monthly holy hours. And so over the course of the year, we're going to be gathering all of our pilgrims together, becoming a little bit more united in prayer so that when we get to World Youth Day, we already have this unity in prayer, and we're already on the pilgrimage. Right. Even now, the pilgrimage has begun.
Yeah.
The spiritual journey has begun.
Yeah. As pilgrims.
Yes. We're already pilgrims together.
Not a vacation.
That's right. Pilgrimage, not a vacation.
So we have to properly prepare.
That's right. You know, you brought a group of young adults to Lisbon from the Korean community.
Yes.
And now there'll be Korean, the Korean young adults will be joining us in the diocese.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Our diocese being the largest group as a diocese, we've been bringing like hundreds of young pilgrims. But I myself had a small group of Korean young adults to Lisbon, even before to Panama. But this time I'll be assisting you, Bishop, at the same time helping the Korean group from our diocese to prepare this pilgrimage.
Right. So we're really, really looking forward to that. Now, you know, going back to Pope Leo, this won't be his first gathering with the youth. He came into the papacy during the Jubilee year. I was at the Jubilee for Youth with young people from the diocese. Had a chance to see him in the big events, had a chance to attend the Wednesday audience and to greet him. It was a funny encounter. There's something about him that's very disarming. And maybe it is the American experience of English or something, but he felt like one of the bishops from the U.S. Conference of Bishops. And so all of a sudden my guard dropped. I just put my hand up and he said, "Hello, Your Holiness, I'm Bob Brennan from Brooklyn." And he said, "Brooklyn, oh, that's great, Brooklyn." You know. So there is something very disarming about his style and his ease with people. But, you know, he was wonderful with the young people at that. He had the question and answers with the kids during the Jubilee for Youth, talked about themes like friendship, authentic friendship, themes like courage. How do you have the courage to live out your faith? Spoke about themes of choosing to do the right things, being sustained in prayer. And then in November, We had the NCYC, the Gathering of Young People in the United States. Those were mostly high school students. Again, we had a group from Brooklyn and Queens. And there was this live encounter with him, conversation.
Right.
He was in Rome, but it wasn't a taped message. It was an actual conversation. Yeah. But then for Sikh, we were in Sikh together. He spoke to the young people at Sikh. One of the things I say is this is, again, that connection with the American experience. Yeah. He doesn't only speak the language. He speaks the language. He speaks with our accent. Mm-hmm. But also, he speaks the cultural language, the idioms. He, you know, he could talk about his favorite movies or his music, right? He could talk about some of the experiences that he had growing up. And that connects with people here. That's been, I think, a little bit of an awakening amongst the young people here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's also an Augustinian. And I remember when he first started thinking, oh boy, we're going to get a lesson on Augustine. He's always quoting Augustine. And, you know, Augustine has a lot to say to teach us in this century. So that's all good. But with the youth, I would say he's kind of the Pope of modern technology. Mm-hmm. Not that others haven't used it before, but he's used it extremely well. With these messages and video links. And yet he also has something to say about it, right? You've been noticing what he's been saying about technology and artificial intelligence.
Right. Definitely advising us to use the tool in the right way, but not to abuse them.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, something like AI can be a great tool, can help us to do the research, but it's not the answer to everything. And one of the things that he's constantly reminding us, whether it be AI or even just like texting, he's constantly reminding all of us that these things don't take the place of human relationships. You know, being able to converse with one another and being able to let other people be who they are, rather than to have some artificial construct creating somebody of our likeness, somebody that we want to interact with. So he has a very important message about that. And I think we're going to hear a little bit more about those things. I mentioned his letter to the poor. And the other letter is that the Jubilee year last year coincided with the 1700th anniversary of the Nicene Creed. We say it every Sunday. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty. When we talk about Jesus, true God, true man, consubstantial with the Father, incarnate of the Virgin. And we had a chance to reflect on everything we believe, which I think was a great gift. Funny, we were in your old haunts at St. Anselm's in November for the Cathedral Club Memorial Mass on that week when he released that message about the Creed. And I remember it very, very well. And, you know, there was a point, there was something that really struck me in there. He spoke about the Nicene Creed being an opportunity for us to examine our consciences. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, sometimes we have to be better witnesses to what we believe than we are. But I'm going to read this. I printed it out so I could remember it. He said, the Nicene Creed invites us to examine our conscience. What does God mean to me? How do I bear witness to my faith? Is the one and only God truly the Lord of my life? Or do I have idols that I place before God and his commandments? Is God for me the living God, close to me in every situation? Father, to whom I turn with filial trust? Is he the creator to whom I owe everything I am and everything I have, and whose mark I can find everywhere in creation? Am I willing to share the goods of the earth, which belong to everyone, in a just and equitable manner? How do I treat creation, the work of his hands? Do I exploit and destroy it, or do I use it with reverence and gratitude, caring for and cultivating it? Examining your conscience, and is God really first in my life? When I read that, I said, wow, this is something to spend some time with and to pray over. Mm-hmm. And you can see that then there too, at the heart of everything else, he has this profound respect, certainly for God, but also for the dignity of every person. I think he's calling us to that kind of respect for the dignity of every person. It goes back to his missionary experience. Yeah. It goes back to his name, the choice of the name Pope Leo.
Right.
Leo the 13th, his predecessor, was the Pope to bring the social gospel into the modern era, into the Industrial Revolution. And everything in the 20th century was based off of his teaching in Rerum Novarum. Right. Yeah. And so He's reminding us of that importance of the social gospel. And what he said to the priest in the Jubilee of Priests, love God and love your brothers and sisters and be generous in your service to them. Mm-hmm. Great reminder for us.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yes. So in a sense, he really is continuing Pope Leo XIII's mission of the social gospel, bringing that message to the world.
Yeah, and he just finished these 11 days of his trip to Africa.
Where again, he was a missionary all over again, right? you could see something in his face and in his interactions, how the missionary in him came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been quite a year, and I'm looking forward to a long pontificate. I'm looking forward to him being with us for a long while. I'm encouraged, and we pray for our Holy Father. We pray for his mission of peace in the world regularly. We ask the Lord to help and to guide him, but also to help and guide us as the church, that we may respond generously to his call. You know, just one other thing before we sign off. This weekend, of course, here in the United States is Mother's Day. We pray for our mothers. Congratulations to all the moms and the grandmothers who are out there, who are listening. And everyone, make a point. If you have your mom, or you have your grandmothers, make a point of saying thank you, of appreciating them while you have them. Of course, my mom passed away 2 years ago, and so I commend her to the loving hands of God. And for those of us whose moms have gone over to heaven, we pray for them in a very particular way, but with great, great gratitude. Father John, in Korea, is Mother's Day celebrated, or when is it celebrated?
Yeah, of course. My mom is in Korea now, but a little differently. We celebrate Mother's Day here this weekend, but in Korea, we celebrate family a bit differently. There is one Parents' Day instead of a separate Mother's Day and Father's Day. And May 5th is the Children's Day, and May 15th is Teacher's Day. Huh? So, and the month of May is known as the month of family. And I think it's a beautiful reminder to give thanks for parents, children, teachers, and all those who help us grow.
Help us to grow, help us to grow in the world and shape and form us, and help us to grow in the faith, because our families are really the first teachers of the faith, right?
Yes.
They're the first ones to introduce us to Jesus as a friend, to learn how to pray. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are listening. And of course, May is the month of our Blessed Mother. Yeah. And so we pray and ask her intercession. We're kind of in those late days of Easter, and we have that image of Mary gathering the apostles together in prayer as they were awaiting the Holy Spirit, crying out, come Holy Spirit. The church cries out again, renew, come Holy Spirit. So we'll conclude today's session with prayer. And as you know, during these days of Easter, I often turn to the Regina Caeli, Queen of Heaven. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Queen of Heaven, rejoice.
Alleluia.
For the Son whom you merited to bear.
Alleluia.
Has risen as he said.
Alleluia.
Pray for us to God.
Alleluia.
Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary.
Alleluia.
For the Lord is truly risen. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Big City Catholics. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you and have a wonderful week.